Part 8, Canto 10, Chapter 42, Text 12. The Lord said, I will come. Eshyami te griham subhrum. Subhru means one of the beautiful eyebrows. I will come to your house. What kind of house you have? The kind of house you have will relieve us of our mental distress. Here the griha, when Krishna talks about griham in this verse, Kubja is taking it in another way, and Krishna is saying it so that Kubja will take it in one way and his brother Balaram and his friends will take it the other way. So he's speaking in this way for his friends and his brother to understand, yes, we are without, we're homeless travelers in this town. So your house would be the best refuge for us, and we will come and stay there. But this is how he said the same thing for Kubja to understand. When he says in this verse, agriha nam, we have no home. So for Kubja, he's saying that we have no home.
In sadhi part, tumhara ghar kaisa hai, punsa madhi vikar samay. Purushon ke manse chinta ko dur karne wala. Aur aise agrihanam na panthanam tum parayanam. Hum bhi to agrih hai, hamara koi ghar nahi hai, Mathura mein. Yaha grih se tatpar Bhagwan kuch aur kah rahe hain. Kubja kuch aur samjhe na griham grihamitya aur grihini griha uchyate.
So to her, he's saying we are agrihini, means we don't have griha. Griha means a house is not a griha. Griha means where there is a wife. So for Kubja is understanding when he's saying agriha nam, his brother Balaram and his friends are understanding. Krishna is saying we agrihi here in this town means we have no home, and so we can stay free of rent at your house. Very nice. We will come, but later. And Kubja is understanding when Krishna is saying we are agrihi here means we don't have a griha. Griha means a home where there is a wife. Grihini griha uchyate. The learned men do not call griha where there is no grihini. Grihini means a housewife. Like grihastha. Grihastha doesn't mean a person who lives in a griha. Griha means a house. So grihastha doesn't mean a person who lives in a house. A sannyasi may also live in a house. Grihastha means one who lives in his griha with his grihini, with his housewife. So for Kubja's understanding, he's saying, now I'm unmarried, so while walking on the footpath, I found a housewife. What could be more fortunate than that? So in this verse, this was the understanding to be given to Kubja. But Krishna and Balaram understood. They saw that Krishna is making a joke with Kubja, saying that yes, we got free rent house to live in while we're traveling here in Mathura. The Lord is talking like this. He is Vidvat Chiromani. He is the crest jewel of all the Vidvans, all the learned persons. So he knows how to speak in this way, where two different people can understand two different meanings with the same words. With very sweet words, Krishna gave assurance to Kubja, and she understood it like this, that what can be more fortunate than me, Krishna is saying, walking down the king's path, I found myself the most beautiful woman for a wife. So, but don't worry, I will come to your house, but when I have finished my work, then I will come to your house. The Lord, he moved ahead. So, since that day, Kubja, day and night, every day she was waiting for Krishna to come to her house. Many, many months, day and night, she simply prepared her house, her home, herself, to welcome Krishna to her house. Every single day for so many months. She did not know anything anymore. She just was waiting when her beloved will come to her house. And later on Krishna will go to her house with Uddhavji. With Balaram, he will go to Akrur's house. And with Uddhava, he will go to Kubja's house. Later on, when he went with Uddhava to Kubja's house, Uddhava, the word Uddhava also means fire. So he wanted to he wanted the fire to be the witness. So when he went to Kubja's house, he first held her hand as if he when given in marriage. So he did that so there may be no offense, as if he is going beyond the rules and regulations of this material world. And he's fire, like in fire sacrifice. When Krishna went to Kubja's house with Uddhava, he first held Kubja's hand as if receiving her hand in marriage, so that he may not be breaking any rules and regulations of this world. And he did this in front of Uddhava. He went to her house not alone, he went with Uddhava. So he did this in the presence of Uddhava. Uddhava, the word Uddhava in Sanskrit also means Agni, fire. So as if in front of the fire sacrifice, so there may be no offense. So Harisari Maharaj, in his commentary, he says that Krishna first held her hand as if in marriage, so there may be no adharma. This is the feelings of the devotee. To hear and speak about these pastimes, we need opportunity without disturbance. There should be some prerequisition, little understanding of Sanskrit, and enough time, and lalsa, means the very strong desire to hear. Then there is relishment. Then there is relishing of such topics. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Text 13. In text 13, Sukadev Goswami says, Madhavya Vanya Vrisajya. As Madhav, he was leaving with very sweet words. He spoke to Kubja. He did not reject her, and leaving her with these sweet words, he walked ahead down the road. And the merchants and the shopkeepers along the way, they all worshipped him and his elder brother, and they all brought whatever they had in their stores, including jewels, garlands, fragrant substances, offerings, including pan, betel nut to chew on, etc. Krishna didn't reject her. Means that he could have said, why you embarrass me in front of my older brother, behave like this, in front of everybody. He could have said, you thought that you demoralized me. No, he was very sweet to her, and he assured her with very sweet words. Any person should speak very sweet words. To speak sweet words is the quality of advanced persons. Sarvada means with everyone one should speak very sweet words.
कोयल क्या किसी को देता है और कौआ क्या किसी का छीनता है कि लोग कौआ से प्रेम नहीं करते हैं। तो कहां
In Hindi there is a very famous, that was a very famous poem in Hindi, means koyal, the cuckoo bird. What is it about the cuckoo bird that everybody loves the cuckoo bird, and what is it about the crow that nobody likes the crow? The cuckoo bird always is singing very sweetly. And the crow makes very harsh sounds that no one likes to hear. So everybody loves the cuckoo bird. But sometimes it is the nature of a person. By practice, even by practicing, he cannot really change himself. Some people may die, but even by practicing, they are not able to speak sweet words, just like the crow. Just like the crow's nature from birth is to speak very harshly, talk, make very harsh sounds. So, how can the crow become a cuckoo bird? But still, one has to keep practicing, keep trying. By practicing, some improvement can be made. Some people are habituated to speaking harshly. Unless they swear at a person and shout at them and speak harshly, they don't feel satisfied in their hearts. So one should practice speaking sweetly. Practice. How fortunate were those shopkeepers along that King's Road? Can even Brahma describe their good fortune? The marketplace in which the Supreme Lord is roaming about, those shopkeepers are so fortunate. They come in front of him with their offerings of their jewels and their necklaces and offer to him as gifts. Someone's bringing cloth, someone's bringing boxes of sweets. Whatever they had, they were bringing. You heard earlier in this chapter that the brahmanas were coming out of their homes and chanting mantras and offering their blessings upon these two boys for their protection. But here is a place for mercantile men, and this is what they do for a living, is to run businesses, shops, buy and sell things. So this was their good fortune today. So the brahmanas, at the most, what they were offering to Krishna, sagrand. They were offering sandalwood pulp. They were giving grains, sprouted grains. Whatever they had as their wealth, they were offering to the Lord and giving. And they were giving blessings and chanting mantras. And the mercantile men, they had many things. And so they were offering whatever they had in their stores. And there were some shops, they sell pan, so they were coming and welcoming their Lord with their pan. And in this way, the Lord was accepting all their offerings, and with sweet words, the Lord was entering Mathura city. If we think about which is the most sacred place in this world, that is Mathura, because that is the birthplace, his birthplace of Lord Krishna. What to speak of the house in Mathura? The prison house is so special that the Lord in Mathura appeared in the prison house. That special sacred place is Chinmay, is transcendental. By seeing you, it looks like it's an ordinary place. Roads, buildings, animals, dogs, pigs. But the glories of the Lord, glories of this dham, we do not have So we think that it looks like just any other city. But this place is very transcendental. Everybody in Mathura was welcoming him. So here Krishna was roaming around in Mathura, looking at the buildings, looking at the marketplaces, looking at the people. They were all welcoming him. Everybody was welcoming him in this town. There was only one person so far that didn't welcome him, and that was the washerman. Some people there were offering him pan to chew on, and he was accepting, and he was chewing on the pan. The Lord is such a premi person that he reciprocates the love his devotees offer to him. Now in the next verse, Sukadev Goswami again is describing about the women of Mathura. Sukadev Goswami is seeing that in Mathura the most attractive people, persons that are most attracted to Krishna are the women of Mathura. He is saying this again and again.
Visrastravasah kavara valaya lekhya murtayah.
Text 14.
Tad darshan smara chhoha. Sri Krishna ke darshan ke karan man me jo Krishna ke prati.
Because of Krishna's darshan,
is prem ki baadh mein istriya
the women of Mathura their hearts were so agitated by the love of Krishna's, seeing Krishna's form, that they totally forgot themselves, that this is the town and they're outside their house and they're not covered and they're not dressed properly. They had totally forgotten themselves. This is my husband, this is a family man. They totally forgot their own bodies, that they're not supposed to look at somebody else in this way. This is the effect of Lord Krishna's unlimited beauty. He is so unlimited, he was so unlimited beautiful that any woman that looked at him, she would totally forget herself. She would totally forget her own form, her own house, her own relatives, or even where she's standing and how she's looking. She would just totally be oblivious to the rest of the world. Krishna would steal their hearts. They used to forget themselves in such a way, Sukadev Goswami says here, just as they were figures, as if they were painted on a painting. They would be totally still. This is how they were. They became when they saw Krishna. They stood as still as a picture. They would not move. They became just like murtis, like statues. Sometimes when we see in a picture, when somebody is painted in a picture, we see that neither their eyelashes blink, nor their hands or fingers move. This was the situation with these women, and they used to remain standing in that way. They would not blink their eyes or move their finger, just like a statue. So beautiful is Krishna to look at, that they just would remain like that. So here Sukadev Goswami is giving us Dig Darshan of Krishna. Dig Darshan means taking darshan through somebody else's eyes. Sometimes we show the moon, full moon, to somebody and we say, look, the moon is just above that tree. Sometimes, especially on Purnima day, the sun, just like the sun rises in the morning, the moon rises. We can see it rising above the ocean, or sometimes above a mountain, or sometimes people ask where is the moon, and we show them, look, it's rising above the tree. But actually, The moon is much higher than the tree. It's not as high as the tree. It seems to be just above the tree. But actually, it's not that as high as a tree. It's way too high above, far beyond the tree. In Sanskrit, this is called Shakha Chandra Nyaya. So how beautiful is Krishna? His beauty is described indirectly. That he's so beautiful that the women that are looking at, it is described, his beauty is described through the condition of these women who are looking at Krishna, that by looking at him they remain standing as statue for a long, long time without even blinking their eyes. Even when Krishna has gone past, far away, they still remain standing in that same way, just like a statue, and sometimes they would then close their eyes. When Krishna will go too far ahead and out of their sight, then they will just close their eyes. And her family people will say, "What happened to you? What are you doing?" Sometimes the family people would think that maybe suddenly when she has been haunted by a ghost or something, or a great disease, maybe a stroke or something. They used to think like that. At home, almost every day after seeing Krishna, they used to become like this. And sometimes the family people, the elderly, they used to think maybe the person got some kind of disease or something, and they used to become in anxiety to call a doctor. And in that time, one Sakhi will come. A Sakhi used to come and tell the mother-in-law and other family members, nothing happened to her. This is the effect of her. This especially used to happen in Vrindavan. A Sakhi would come and say, this is just because Krishna was playing his flute, and this is the result of her hearing Krishna's flute. And especially when there was a new bride in the house, sometimes she would start crying, or she'll become unconscious, and mother-in-law will become in great anxiety, and she would say, go call somebody to Ojha, they call it Ojha, that will take off any bad, bad spirits or something. Something happened to her, something has disturbed her. And sometimes they would run to call a Vaidya, an Ayurvedic doctor. And then this was happening so many times in so many houses, almost every day, this situation. And then one Sakhi would come and assure the mother-in-law, this is just a reaction from hearing Krishna's flute, don't worry. She used to say the greatest, the best thing to do to cure this condition of our women happening like this, the best thing to do is to snatch away Krishna's flute and throw it in the Jamuna. Then there will be no more of this sickness. This is the cure. The sound of Krishna's flute is so unbelievable. And same with his roop and his words and his glances, etc. Here in this verse, Sukadev Goswami says, those istriya visrast vasaha. They used to be so disheveled by seeing Krishna. These women, their clothes used to be disheveled, their hairs used to, their bangles, they didn't have any idea how their body was standing there and what condition it was in. They just used to simply stand like statue forms. This is how Sukadev Goswami is seeing and he is describing. This Krishna Sarup is especially more attractive to the women. The other in the other incarnations of the Lord, the incarnations, the forms of the Lord are not so attractive to the women in general. Now, just like Narsingadev, which woman would be attracted to Narsingadev Bhagwan? Narsingadev Bhagwan's, his own wife, Lakshmi Devi was too afraid to go near him. Lord Brahma sent Lakshmi Devi, please you go and pacify your husband. She was going and she was very proud of it. Yes, he's my husband, I will be able to pacify him. But when she came in front of him and she saw those very fearful nails and teeth and garland of the intestines of Hiranyakashipu, she became so afraid and she just ran away. She thought he was not in the right mood right now. Maybe he may even give me a slap. He looks so angry. Lakshmi Devi did not have that confidence in herself when she saw those hands with these huge nails, that even if he just moves his hand, she may lose her life. Not that she thought he will slap him, but she just thought those, when she saw his very fearful nails, she thought even accidentally if he moves his hand, these nails will finish me. So she ran away. She was not attracted to coming in front of him anymore. But Prahlad Maharaj, he went. And like, and other forms like Varahadev, which woman would be attracted to embrace Varahadev? Big two teeth tusks. What about Parshuram with his axe and going around with his axe and killing people and shedding blood? Which woman would be attracted to him to go and embrace him? And there's Kapil Dev. He is so simple and meditating. So Krishna came. When Krishna came, he wanted to attract everybody. All men, women, animals, birds. Unless the Lord shows himself in his very beautiful form, then how can anybody want to love him in his ferocious and other kinds of forms? So Krishna comes in his most beautiful, his original form, that everybody will simply want to love Krishna. In this world, every person is Sandarya Rasik. Every person likes to see Sandarya, beauty, beautiful things. What is the reason? Do you know? What is the reason? The reason is that the living entity has a sambandha, a relationship with that beautiful form of the Lord. And that is why every living entity likes to see something beautiful. That's why the living entity is looking for beauty. He's attracted to Krishna's beauty, but not knowing Krishna, not remembering Krishna. The living entity is looking for that beauty that his heart is searching in other things, other living entity and other things. But he does not know the beauty that he's searching for everywhere. The desire he has to see something most beautiful, that beauty belongs to Krishna. Because the jeev or living entity has Sandarya Vasna and Prem Vasna, means he's always looking for beauty and he's always looking for love. So he's actually looking for that same Krishna, but he's foolish. He's rejecting Krishna and he's looking for beauty in other people. There's two kinds of Sandarya, two kinds of beauty. One is Akriti and the other is Prakriti's Sandarya, beauty of the Prakriti. Beauty of Akriti means the Akar, the form, is very beautiful. Akriti means form. And Prakriti's Sandarya, beauty of Prakriti means the Swabhav, his nature, is very beautiful. In this world there is some beauty of Akriti in amongst the humans and the demigods, some little beauty of their form, but their Prakriti is not so beautiful because the Prakriti is made of five material things, panchabhutas, the five material things, like the human body. What is the beauty of the human body? On top is the skin. Then there is flesh, there is bones, there is pus, there is stool and urine. What is the beauty of all these things? Hare Krishna. Please, the pujari do the aarti and leave it there. Everybody will take from where they are. These days so many things are done by remote control. So you can take aarti from where you are. So I was saying, Prakriti is jad, mayamay, sharbhangu, means for a moment. There is no consciousness. Not just there is no consciousness, but it's also smelly, foul-smelling things. If you think about this body, you put all the flesh on one side, all the blood on one side, all the bones on one side, all the skin at one side. What will be the beauty of this? And Akriti, beauty of the form also of humans is not anywhere near as that of the Supreme Lord. So the Lord is beautiful in Akriti and Prakriti, in the form and in Prakriti, in the nature of His body also. In Krishna's body there is nothing except Chinmaya and Anand, Sat-Chit-Anand, there is nothing else. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Krishna Himself. He is totally transcendental. His name, His fame. Actually, we are looking for that beauty in this world. Krishna, by His mercy, He appeared in this world 5,000 years ago. And He was showing, He was giving His darshan to all living entities, his beautiful form, His smile, his beautiful vigraha, so that the living entities could develop love for Him. He was showing Himself to the world, and this is why He comes, so people can know what they're actually looking for in this world. When they're looking for something beautiful or love, He is the person to be looked. He is the one they can find all these things that they're searching for. This is what He was giving freely in Mathura, and in His own dham, in His own birthplace, He was freely roaming about. Text 15. Kans had arranged a bow sacrifice, a dhanush yagya. Dhanush means bow. So he had organized the local people he had organized an arena for a bow sacrifice. And there was this dhanush belonged to Lord Shiva. And he worshipped this dhanush, this bow, and it was told to him that his time of death would be when this bow breaks. So Lord Shiva gave King Kamsa this bow, this was his own bow, and he said to him, you worship this bow, but also understand this, that the day this bow breaks, that will be your last day. So he used to keep this bow guarded very safely with many, many guards in the temple, and he used to worship the bow, and this bow was 350 man heavy, or was it 350,000 man? I'm not remembering the exact figure. Yes, it was 350 lakh man heavy. Do you know what is man? If you were born in India, you know what is a man. In those days, one man is about 1,000 kilos. Understand? A big mandapa and vishal, huge, in which almost all the citizens could sit. He had made a huge stadium. So this yagya was just an excuse somehow to bring Krishna Balaram to Mathura and kill them. So yagya usually is done to please the Supreme Lord, but this yagya was done to kill the Supreme Lord. So there were all these people standing around guarding the bow. So the Lord asks, he actually just wanted to break the bow, but he asked as if he didn't know anything. He's saying, Dhanusha Sthana Muchyata Prichmanu Pauran. He's asking Pauravasis, the citizens, the residents of the Pura, the Puri, about, he's inquiring about the bow. So he was asking the sthan, he was as if he didn't know anything, he was asking people, where is the place where this bow is kept? He's asking directly, and Sukadev Goswami says, uses the word Achyuta, the infallible Lord, Supreme Lord, means he knows everything, and yet he's asking, where is this bow kept? He asked many times. One time he asked, and somebody said, do one thing, you go up this way and you make a left from there. Like that, they were giving directions. So when he reaches there, he asks again for direction. The Lord's pastimes are amazing. Here he's called Achyuta. He knows everything, but he's acting just like an ignorant little boy. So when he gets to the place, he asks for directions again. And he asks somebody, where is the place where the bow is kept? As if he is just a very ignorant, innocent child. He is just asking, where is this bow? Where is this bow? And he is telling people, I'm coming from a village, I don't know. And for a long time, all my life, I have just been taking the, I'm a cowherd boy, taking the calves to the forest. And now I'm a little older, I want to do some dharma and some karma. So this worshipable bow, where is it? I would like to offer obeisances. I want to take part in this yagya. So they used to tell him, it's here, it's there. So he went.
तस्मिन् प्रविष्टो ददृशे धनुरेन्द्र निवासभूतम्
उस्तद् यज्ञ भवन में भगवान प्रवेश
सो व्हेन विद हिज कृष्णा एंटर्ड द यज्ञ भवन द प्लेस वेयर द बो सैक्रिफाइस वुड टेक प्लेस व्हेन ही एंटर्ड देयर विद हिज फ्रेंड्स एंड हिज ब्रदर सो व्हाट डिड ही सी ही सॉ अद्भुतम धनुषम अ वेरी अमेजिंग बो What kind of a bow it was? Andram. Just like Lord Indra's bow. Had many, many colors. So this bow was decorated, and it looked just like the bow of the king of heaven, very opulent looking, with different colors and decorated with gold from one corner to another. So here Sukadev Goswami is trying to depict the feelings of Krishna. For Krishna, to Krishna it felt as if it was big and beautiful, like Lord Indra's bow. So the Lord arrived there, walking by foot. There was no karwar. People used to just walk. These days people don't walk. They only ride in the car, and sometimes they walk a little bit here and there. But the Lord is always walking. And what else? What else did he see? Text 16. He saw some special guards. And some brahmanas were doing pujas. It was evening time. The sun was just about to go down. In other words, it was guarded by many men, and it was worshipped by very opulently worshipped, supreme opulence, param riddhi, with gold, etc. Varyamana nribhi Krishna. And Krishna said to the guards, this is the bow. I heard it was a very big bow. This is not very big bow. In this way, and then he just walked towards the bow. This is the bow. This is not very big bow. And they had tied a rope in front after some space, so nobody could go cross the bow. But Krishna just went past the bow, acting like a very innocent little boy, you know. And they were saying, "Don't go, don't go." And he was saying, "This is not a very big bow. This is a very..." Just like children, you know, they innocently walk up and they try to touch it, and they said, "This is the bow, and this is the bow." And the guard started running, "Hey, get out of here. Don't go past that rope." They were shouting at him. But while they were just doing that, Krishna simply picked it up. Sukadev Goswami says, "Varya mano nribhi." The guards, they were warding him off. They had swords and they had bows and arrows. They had all these weapons, and they were standing with them to guard the bow. And they were shouting at him, "Hey, where are you going?" And while they were just saying that, with his left hand, Krishna just picked it up like it was a toy. With his left hand, and not with any force, like, "Oh, so heavy." No. Just as if he was playing with a little toy, he just picked it up with his, it's like kids pick up a little tiny plastic bow lying around, they just pick it up. So he just picked it up like, you know, like a toy. And from his appearance, it looks just like a little boy. But he simply picked up that Lord Shiva's bow. And this bow weighed 350,000 man. One man is 1,000 kilograms. So this bow weighed 350,000 man. 350 lakh man was the weight of this bow. The Lord simply picked it up with his left hand. Sukadev Goswami says, "Leelam." This is just his pastime, as if he's just playing, like he's picking up a straw from the street. For the Supreme Lord, this is no wonderful thing to pick up a bow. The Lord, what he cannot pick up, is there anything that he cannot pick up? The whole earth he was holding upon his tusks in the form of Varaha. But here it was amazing to them, because he was doing the pastimes. He appeared like just an ordinary.
उठा लिया इसे, और जब धनुष उठा ली तो वही जो सब देखते देखते रह गए, अब उनके मन में कुछ भय हो गया, कभी पास नहीं।
And as Krishna picked up the bow, they just couldn't believe their eyes, and then they started to doubt, oh my god, who is this boy? And they were told by Kamsa, if Krishna enters the arena where the bow is kept, before he enters he should be killed. You should immediately kill him. This was Kamsa's plan. They were all rascals who were guarding the bow, and they also knew that this is the same boy for whom this whole bow sacrifice is been arranged to kill this boy. Text 17. For humans, there is a difference between the left hand and the right hand. Generally, the right hand is, people are generally right-handed and their right hand is more strong. So there's a difference between the strength in the left and right hand, but for the Supreme Lord, there's no difference between his left and right hand. So in this verse, it is said, Vamena Karena. The Lord here, he's showing, this is nothing, this is a left-hand play. This is a child's play. Just like when somebody does, is told to do something and he thinks it's very easy. If somebody is told to do something and he thinks it's very easy for him, and then he says, what's there to do this job? This is the play of my, this is the play of my left hand. Means it's a very easy job that I can even do this with my left hand. Udritam, he lifted. And he put the bow on the standing up on the ground, and he just took the string, and he was just trying to string it, and while he was trying to string it very easily, it just broke into two pieces. Vikrishya Prabhanja. While pulling the string taut, Prabhanja, he broke it. Where? Madhyastha, in the middle. A bow generally in the middle is very thick and very hard. He didn't break the edge of the bow. In the middle, Madhyata means in the middle, he broke it into two pieces. He did not have a body like an elephant. He still looked like a gentle, tender little boy, but it looked so easy for him to break that bow. It looked just like an elephant might break a sugar cane. This is how Sukadeva Goswami is describing how easily Krishna lifted the bow and he broke it into two. Why? Because Urukramaha. He is Urukrama. He is Lord Krishna. Urukrama means one who has very great Aishwarya. In Brahma Samhita, we read,
Vishnur Mahan Sayajasya Kala Vishesu Govindamad Purushantam Aham Bhajami. Is Jagat me
in this world, Brahma has the highest post in this world. And Brahmaji lives for 1 neel, 14 kharab, and 40 arab. Now in here you speak of millions and billions, but in Sanskrit, there is much higher counting than millions and billions. 100, everybody knows. Sahasra, thousand, laksh, koti, million, arbud, kharbud, neel, padma, shankha. Like that it goes on. Very, very subtle. So Brahmaji lives for, and once we calculate it, it's not in millions. He lives so many years. And in Brahma's lifetime, so many manus, they come and go. In his one day, 14 manus come and go. In one day, right? Yes, in one day, 14. In one of his day, 14 manus come and go. Lives for, and each manu lives for 71 chaturyug, means 71 of the four cycles of yugas. Each cycle is Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali. 71 such cycles is the lifespan of one manu. That's one chaturyug. And 71 of such chaturyugas pass, then one Manu Maharaj retires. And when 14 manus come and go, then Lord Brahma's one day has passed. And his night is equally as long. In between, this srishti, this universe, is suspended. And in this way, 360 day, such days is his one year. In one year, how many manus must come and go, you can add. In this way, he lives for 100 years. So one time we calculated the total lifespan of Lord Brahma. Such a length of one Brahma's lifespan is one breath of the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma stays alive only as long as one breath of Lord Vishnu. As long as it takes him to exhale, that's how long Brahma lives. And as soon as the Lord inhales again, Lord Brahma and everybody else goes back in the body of Lord Vishnu.
और वो भगवान महाविष्णु भगवान गोविंद के कला विशेष
है. And this Lord Vishnu is भगवान कृष्णस only one kala visheshaṁ. In other words, a very small Lord Vishnu does not exhibit all of Lord Krishna's powers. Very little. Kala visheshaṁ. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Such Govinda I worship. So such Govinda, if he breaks one bow, it is not something very amazing. For Mathura it became a cause for great amazement. That one boy named Krishna, he broke the bow, everybody was talking about it. But the Lord is habituated to breaking bows. He broke the bow and married Sita Devi in Janakpur. Janak Maharaj's palace. He is always breaking bows. There he broke the bow to marry Sita, and here he is breaking the bow to kill Kamsa. Because Kamsa had a boon from Lord Shiva that until this bow is when this bow is broken, then that will be the time of your death. So he used to think he is very safe, because nobody can break this bow. I mean, thousands of men are needed just to move this bow. So he felt very safe. And he used to always keep the bow protected by very strong guards. So first of all, Krishna wanted to go and break that bow. Text 18. When the Lord broke this bow, the sound of the bow's breaking filled the whole universe, filled the earth and the sky in all directions. It makes such a loud sound to the other side of the universe. It was a very frightening sound. The hellish planets and the heavenly planets, everybody heard it. After hearing this, Kansa, he was struck with terror. He was shivering. He understood this is the sound of breaking of the bow. He was filled with terror because he knew once if the bow was broken, he is going to die. So, and then he sent his guards, his whole army, go quickly, run, he told them, grab him, kill him, don't let him go. He was in great anxiety. In India, even today, police is called Arakshi. Arakshi is one who will protect very nicely. Raksha, to protect. Those who protect the citizens, they're called Arakshit. And in English, we call it police. So all the police persons with their companions, they became ready with their weapons. And to catch Krishna, they surrounded him from all directions. So Krishna had already killed the bow. So after having killed the bow, like an ordinary boy, he wanted to just run away from there. Because he knew he did an aparad from a worldly point of view. So they all surrounded him in all directions. Then what could he do? This goes to show that their end time had come. So to protect himself, he had to fight back, and they all simply died. If they had moved away, Krishna would surely not have killed them. But up till now, Krishna and Balaram didn't have any weapons in their hands. But now Krishna and Balaram each, they picked up one half of the bow that was broken to protect themselves. And they began striking all these Kamsa's guards or policemen. They all were dead and lying on the ground. They didn't have to hit very much, just touch them each once and they were down on the ground. And when the army, Kansa's army came, marched over to this place, just at the main gate, they were all killed. So this is the first weapon Krishna had to pick up, was the piece of bow. So this Kamsa's own bow itself killed all his army. They didn't use both the hands to pick up the piece of bow to kill everybody. Just with one hand, they just used to swirl it around. And they had to do that to protect themselves. Otherwise, all these people would not have been killed. Their time of death had arrived, it seemed. This is the first day. This is what the first day of Krishna's arrival in Mathura. And this happened in the evening. And the next day, Kamsa was to die. So Krishna was doing his work very quickly. He didn't waste any time. Text 21. Krishna and Balram, when they struck with the bow, piece of bow once, thousands of people would fall on the ground at one time. In this way, his whole army was killed. Actually, they were Krishna. This town, this city belonged to Krishna and Balram. Kamsa had just interfered and had tried to take over. So Krishna and Balram, after killing the whole army, they began again enjoying roaming around. They were not at all afraid. In fact, the whole town, everybody became afraid of these two to see their strength and their great activities. Text 22. Having witnessed the amazing deed Krishna and Balram had performed, all the people of Mathura, they saw their strength, boldness and their beauty, and all the Mathura Vasis, they thought, then these two must have been some very great demigods. They were thinking. Maybe these two are Vishnu and Mahesh. They must be. Humans cannot do like this. Must be some great demigods. They were all talking in their homes on the street. These two boys are not ordinary. They're not humans. Because nobody can do like this. Text 23. As they were strolling about like this, while they were strolling, Aditya Astu. Aditya means the sun. The sun began to set. Vivaswan is the lord of the sun. His mother's name is Aditi. That's why the sun, that's why the sun is also called Aditya, because his mother's name is Aditi. And we often hear in villages, the women, they would stand in the morning in front when the sun comes up, they would go and offer water to the sun in a little cup. They will offer water, pour it out, and it falls on the ground. And they will open their end of their sari, they hold it out, two ends of the sari in two hands, the end of the sari, and beg. And they say, "Hey Aditya Bhagwan, hey Sun God." And in this way they will pray for the well-being of their family. So Aditya set. So at night the Lord was not roaming around. And the next day was going to be Shivaratri. So, on Shivaratri day, Kamsa went back to Godhead. He got the real Mathura Vas. Krishna delivered him and sent him to the Mathura in the spiritual world on Shivaratri day. And he had arranged for this Dhanush Yagya on Shivaratri day. And that's why so many people had come to see. It was a very special day and it was a very special festival. So it must have been about 6 p.m. in the evening. So at that time both the boys and the cowherd friends came back to the wagon camp. Where was this? This was at a upavan, means a man-made garden on the outskirts of Mathura. That's where they had parked their bullock carts, and after a whole day of activity, Krishna and Balaram and the boyfriends, they returned to their the camp. So it must have been about 6 p.m. Krishna Balaram, they didn't stroll around at night. They returned to their camp. And where was this camp? It was an upavan, a man-made park and garden on the outskirts of Mathura. And that's where they had parked all their bullock carts. And so Krishna Balaram went back to this camp. So they had parked the bullock carts all around and in a circle, and in the middle they had spread some kind of bedding, some sheet or some mattress, and they all lied down and rested. In those days they didn't have such facility as hotels and motels that you rent and some place and you stay there for the night. On one hand, the Lord is performing very human-like pastimes, and on the other hand, He is performing extraordinary pastimes. On this hand, He is coming back in an ordinary, most ordinary park and garden, and sleeping right next to the bullock cart on the ground on a sheet or some blanket. And on the other hand, he's doing all these amazing pastimes of killing and the kubja pastime and bow killing pastime, etc. They both came. Now Sukadev Goswami is remembering the gopis of Braja. Text 24. Whatever the gopis had said has come true. Sukadev Goswami is speaking a little bit in a jealous way. The gopis in Viraha Geet, out of separation, the song they sang, they said that Krishna has left us and now the women of Mathura will get his darshan and they will become more fortunate. So that actually came true, Sukadev Goswami is speaking.
Text 24.
Sukadev Goswami says, Mukund Vigame Virhaturaya. Gopya, the gopis, Mukunda Vigame, when Lord Mukunda was departing Braja, Viraha Aturaha, the gopis, they were tormented by the feelings of separation. Yaha Asat Ashataha, this which they had spoken, the benedictions that they had spoken are all coming through Ritaha, Mathura Puri, in Mathura. Here Sukadev Goswami is speaking in this way. This is what they used to say, now the Mathura women, they are going to become more fortunate and they will have his Krishna's association. They would be gazing upon his beauty, the jewel among men, and whatever gopis were predicting were coming true. And indeed, the goddess of fortune desired the shelter of that beauty so much that she abandoned many other men, although they worshipped her. Now our good fortune these women have taken away. We are going to die. This is how the gopis were talking.
पुरुष भूषण गात्र लक्ष्मी समस्त पुरुषों में सर्वश्रेष्ठ श्री कृष्ण के शरीर के सौंदर्य को देख देख कर
ऑल persons, especially the women, were becoming satisfied, tripped. They were becoming satisfied in taking darshan of this beautiful person who was the most beautiful amongst all the beautiful men. And thus they were becoming satisfied. Lakshmi Devi, of whom everyone wants to worship, this person, this Krishna, the residents of Mathura were becoming attracted to this person who Lakshmi Devi herself worships, and they were considering themselves most fortunate. So Krishna and Balaram came to their camp. They came. Text 25. First of all, these two brothers, they washed their feet. Avanikt means they washed, they bathed their feet. Every day, Mother Yashoda used to wash their feet when they used to come home from the. Today they had to wash their feet themselves. Now they had become big. How long will the mother keep washing their feet? So they washed their feet because they had walked so much. They washed their feet and bhuktva. They became fresh. They washed their face, washed their eyes, and then ate. It is explained that in the marketplace, Krishna only chewed on paan. He was hungry, but he didn't accept. He did not eat anything. Here, he ate shiro pasechanam, means boiled rice sprinkled with milk. It was like this, that Mother Yashoda, she put a little wood stove. Mother Yashoda had put on one bullock cart a little fire in a stove, and she had put a clay pot on it, with a huge clay pot with milk and rice and sugar. And they had left the village in the morning, and all day this was cooking slowly, and by evening time it was ready to eat. So when they came, that day they didn't have to cook in Mathura. They already had ready cooked sweet rice. So at night, Krishna, Balaram, they ate kheer, sweet rice. And then they slept comfortably, sukham, ratrim. All night they slept very peacefully. Now we should understand that here the Lord did not bring any bed with him, like a bed with four legs. No. They may have brought some sheet, blanket, or a quilt. They just put it on the grass and they went to sleep very comfortably and very peacefully. Sukham means very peacefully. A person who has killed in that day thousands of men and has killed King Kamsa, he's sleeping here. He hasn't killed King Kamsa yet. A person who has killed thousands of Kamsa's men is now simply sleeping peacefully. Here he is sleeping peacefully after killing thousands of men. He has no fear. And that also, gyatva kans chikit chikits. Gyatva kans Chikirshitam. And that also, Gyatva means knowing. Kams Chikirshitam means what, knowing what Kamsa will do to them, because they had killed his whole army. Knowing what Kamsa intended to do to them, they simply still slept peacefully. Anybody could understand what the king of the city will do to these cowherd boys after these two boys had killed the king's army. Anybody could understand. But they had no fear. They just lied down and they fell asleep. This is called Bhagwan. If it was somebody else, they would think at night, they would not get any sleep. They would think of running away, hiding somewhere, out of fear for their life. Then knowing what Kamsa intended to do, they fell asleep. But Nanda Maharaj did not sleep a single wink. Nanda Maharaj and all the grown-up gopas, they were standing around all night guarding the two brothers. They knew that Krishna and Balaram had killed thousands of men and what they had broken the bow, and they had no peace. They knew Kamsa could come any time and attack them. So they were not able to sleep even one wink. Nanda Maharaj would just accept that at that time when Krishna broke the bow, Narayan came and he sat inside Krishna's body and he broke the bow. He still would not even let the thought cross his mind that this Krishna, is he some great demigod or is he God? What to speak of, is he God? He just accepted that my little boy and Narayan just entered his body at the time of breaking the bow. So Narayan did the work through my son. And I have to protect him because Kamsa might come at night and attack us all. And he was thinking, my son Krishna will be considered an aparadhi, not Narayan. Nobody, Kamsa wouldn't think, oh, Narayan came and killed through my son's body. Kamsa will blame Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj had many gop men stand along the path in advance and to let him know if anyone is coming to attack them. So they had a whole line of men guarding Krishna Balaram in this way. In this way the Lord is sleeping. Every day they would sleep, fall asleep in the lap of Mother Yashoda, in his beautiful house, on the beautiful bed. But today, he is sleeping in a garden on the ground. We should learn from this and have tolerance that in any situation, we should not be disturbed. For the Supreme Lord in Mathura, there is not one house to stay in. He is staying in a garden overnight, under a tree on the ground. There was no bedding, home depot. What all there is, home depot, office depot. What else there should be in the office, there's a whole store. There is no such thing as a bhajan depot. In India still there is such thing as bhajan depot. You go in Vrindavan, you see all these shops. They selling paraphernalia for the Lord's worship. In India you still get paraphernalia for the Atma. But here only for the body. And in life we don't need so much. The Lord here is sleeping on the ground. Now listen what is happening in the morning. Krishna Balaram are sleeping. What is Kamsa doing all night? He's not sleeping even for a second. Sukadev Goswami, here he's speaking about Krishna and now he's speaking about Kamsa, character of Kamsa.
रक्षिणाम स्वबलस्य च वधम निशन्न गोविंद राम विक्रीडितम परम। उधर कंस को संवाद मिला,
देयर कंस गॉट द न्यूज दैट कृष्ण ब्रोक द धनुष द बो एंड ही किल्ड ऑल हिज आर्मी एंड ऑल द गार्ड्स एंड हाउ गोविंद राम विक्रीडितम परम एज इफ they were playing a game, just like they were playing a game. So this is how Kamsa was informed. As a child breaks little toys made of clay, the Lord killed all the soldiers. People, whoever came to give the news to Kamsa, they were explaining, oh my God, they were Krishna and Balaram killed all the soldiers and the guards. Just like little kids break clay toys. So all night he was awake. And before also many nights he did not sleep. Person who is in anxiety, not able to sleep, he is called prajagra, means remains awake. Bhita, he was afraid. Durmitani, he was seeing bad omens. Now he started to see many bad omens in sleeping and awake. When he was awake, he used to see bad omens, and when he would just doze for a moment, he would see bad dreams. And what all did he see in the day? He saw messengers of death. According to Jyoti Shastra and Swapna Vichar, there is how to evaluate the dream. There are some dreams that inform a person about his death. A person sometimes is informed beforehand of his coming death. Just like when the car is running low and petrol starts to give some indication. Or if the window is left open, doors left open, there is some indication. When the death comes, a person gets some kind of indications while he's awake and while he's asleep. Then he should understand that it is time to go. And comes in front of him, all these things start to appear. Mrityu dautya karani. Mrityu, death does not come direct. First he sends its messengers. One time's incident, there was a very sinful man. He was meant to die when he was young. The Yamaraj came. So, in front of him, and he said, come on, it's time for you to go. You have to go to the hellish planets. So he got a little angry with Yamaraj. He said, what kind of a man are you? He said to Yamaraj, without notice you just come? What kind of a courtesy is this? You should have given some notice, then come. Then Yamaraj said, oh sorry. Okay. Then he became old. And then again Yamaraj came. And he said, again you're here without notice? And Yamaraj said, I gave you dozens of notices. You did not take the notice. When your legs started to hurt and you could not stand up for very long, this was one of my notices. When your hair started to become white, that was my second notice. Did you notice? When you couldn't hear from your ear, that was also a notice. And when you could not see very much, that was also a notice. So I have sent you so many notices, but you were not paying attention. So let's go. So actually, Lord Yamaraj does not take a person all of a sudden. He does give some notice. Especially when there's urgent notice. He's seeing bad dreams, bad omens. What is he seeing? Text 28 to 31. In water or in mirror, he was not able to see his face. So then he used to feel with his hands, his head, he could feel that his head is there, but in the reflection he could not see his head. So this was a notice that he is going to die soon. He knew. He had heard from the Brahmanas that this is the kind of bad omens. Adarshanam sva shirasa. Adarshan, no darshan in the mirror. Prati rupe cha satyapi. But actually it was there. And sometimes even if the thing was one of, he would see two of. Sometimes when we rub our eyes, something may seem two for some time. Without rubbing his eyes, he was seeing two things of each thing. This is a bad omen. And when he would see his shadow, like when the sun would fall his shadow on the ground, he would see a hole in his shadow. When you see, generally there is a whole shadow, but he was seeing in the daytime, his shadow had a hole in it. This is a bad omen. And his life air, his breathing, he could hear it very loudly when he was awake. And the trees and the bushes, they looked like they were made of gold. They all used to seem golden to him. This is also a sign of death. And in the dirt, when he was walking, bare feet, there was absolutely no footprints. So this was a bad omen of death. In other words, there was no weight in his body. He was walking on dirt, but there were no footprints. So all these were his... So while he was awake, he was seeing these things.
Swapne, swapne prit parisvandha.
and in his dreams he will see dead bodies getting up and embracing him. And he would see in his dreams and all this work, getting up and embracing him. And kharyanam. And if somebody sees that he is naked and he's riding on a donkey, he saw in a dream that he was naked and he was riding on a donkey and his whole body was smeared with oil. If he sees any of these three things, this is a notice, but he was seeing all these three things. And Nalad Mali means a garland of Nalad flowers. We call it Japa Kusum. Arhol. Yes, it's a flower that's only offered to Kali. We never offer that to the Supreme Lord. So if somebody sees in his dream that he's naked riding a donkey or wearing a garland of these flowers, then he should know that death is near. This all Kans was seeing. And many other such omens while he was dreaming and while he was awake. So Kamsa was terrified by the prospect of death. And if a person knows that his death is near, he should do auspicious activities, chanting the holy name. Whatever will happen, will happen. But this Kamsa was doing the opposite. He was thinking how he can still kill Kamsa, Krishna and Balaram. This was his buddhi, his intelligence was turned around. If he knows that his death was in the hands of Krishna and Balaram, he should. If he had just gone up to Krishna and Balaram and surrendered, his life would have turned around. Krishna and Balaram would not have killed him. But even despite all these bad omens and notices for his last moment, he was still thinking how he can still get away from death by killing Krishna Balaram. There was still some chance of him not dying. So instead of trying to surrender to the Supreme Lord at his last moments, here he was trying to make plans to kill Krishna and Balaram. And he did not, out of anxiety, he did not sleep at all that night. So what he should have done was not invite Krishna and Balaram if he was having some of these omens he was having for quite a few days. So instead he sent Akura to go and call Krishna and Balaram. Just like he was calling his end. He wanted his end to come near. Although he was thinking that he will invite Krishna and Balaram and kill them, but actually he was inviting his own end. But he should have let Krishna Balaram stay where they are. Maybe he would have been saved, but he was inviting them. And he was still thinking that maybe I can still kill him and then I will never die. Even after seeing all this, he did not come to his senses. Even if he still had come to surrender to the Lord, in one moment, all this would have been turned around. He made this whole festival to kill Krishna and Balaram.